Hi, this is Nick Webb, and welcome to another episode of The Nick Webb Show. Well, as I promised you at the beginning of the year, I am going to provide you 24 podcasts on the 24 things that everybody should be doing in order to grow, thrive, and prosper in 2024 and beyond. In my previous episodes, we talked about the power of clarity, the power of lucid leadership, the power of understanding your marketscape, the power of understanding your culture, the superpower of understanding your own sense of self-awareness. And the list goes on and on. We've got some really, really good podcasts. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to the first 14 of the 24 tips for 2024, I really suggest you go back and listen to a few of them. Remember, I strip out all of the unnecessary content and give you 15 minutes of actionable insights that you can apply immediately in your organization and in your role as a leader. Okay, now this episode is entitled How to Create a Formal Human Experience Strategy, or something like that. Human experience, wow, I could literally talk about this for 8 hours, but you would probably hate me at the end of that period of time. So I've put it into 15 minutes of action-packed, what you can do immediately kinds of sound bites that hopefully you will, in fact, immediately deploy within your organization. Now, in a time of artificial intelligence, everybody is scrambling to replace the human with automation via AI. Well, this is really sort of the touching point that I'm trying to make here, is that if we replace human connection with robotic connection, we as an organization lose. If we replace robotic human behavior with robotic digital behavior, we win. So in other words, I'll give you my quote. Let's use robots to handle non-human tasks so that we can focus on enhancing human-centric ones. So let's use AI to automate and to eliminate and to create pathways that give us time in order to be able to connect with our customers. Now, it's important that I point out that, you know, we can, after all, still improve experiences for customers leveraging digital solutions. I recently purchased a product. The product broke after about 1 week. So I went to their website and went to their chatbot powered by AI. And I said, my product's broke. And they said, well, the robot said this. It seems like you've done everything you can. So I've already shipped you a new one. And I'm like, what just happened here? I didn't have to talk to somebody for 20 minutes. I just told the robot that it's broken, and it said, you did everything you can. And then just to be able to punctuate that experience, then the robot comes back and says, fast, huh? Wow, it's good and arrogant. I like that robot a lot. So we can use robots to improve experiences, especially if we allow people to have asynchronous dialogue or synchronous dialogue as a customer engagement option. People want options. Some people like real-time discussions. Some people like to just have an asynchronous packet dialogue, and that's okay too. The main point that I want to make here is that in a time of digitization and artificial intelligence and robot process automation, we have to be really careful to use these solutions only to the extent that they improve the value and experience to customers. So remember, human experience is sort of CX on steroids. And rather than just improving the experience for customers, now we're improving the experience for employees. We're improving the experience for our vendors. We're improving the experience on partners, on regulators, anybody that's in our sphere of influence. We're now going to deliver a better experience. Now, the power of this is unbelievable. Organizations that get this right, that build formal human experience strategies, they attract and keep mission-critical talent. They significantly improve presenteeism, productivity, quality, innovation. they improve returns on strategies by as much as 60%. They reduce costs by as much as 30%. They become the leading product or brand. They are always the employer of choice in their given market. They get really, really good deals from their vendors because they treat them like partners, not like enemies. When you do this right and you do it holistically, you absolutely build a future-ready superstar organization. Okay, so now the question is, how do we do this stuff? Well, in this short podcast, I can't give you everything that you need to know, but I will give you 4 tips to get started. And if you have more questions about how to make this real in your organization, reach out. I'd be glad to share with you more about this. In fact, I'm obsessed with human experience innovation. That's why nobody ever invites me to cocktail parties. They're afraid I'm going to talk about human experience. It's the human experience guy. Don't invite him to our cocktail party. And I'm so excited about it for 2 reasons. 1, it creates superstar businesses. And 2, it allows us to do what we're here to do, and that is to engage people and to deliver value to them. Okay, tip number 1 is you simply must understand the baseline level of expectation. Now, I talked about this book 10 years ago in my book, What Customers Crave, that our customers, our employees, our anybody has an expectation. Your partner has an expectation. Your community has an expectation. The problem is that most organizations don't know what their employees really truly expect. They assume they expect that they're going to trade cash for time. And today, employees want so much more. They want to be involved in a mission that matters. They want to be in the authorship of their own personal evolution. They want to have proof that their work is connected to the overall strategy of the enterprise and that the work that they're doing is meaningful and it matters. It's far more multidimensional than just the binary exchange of cash for time. The same is true in the way in which we look at customers. So we can't improve experiences for our ecosystem. When I use the term ecosystem, I'm talking about anybody that you engage. It can be regulators. It can be your community, partners, vendors, employees, and customers, just to name a few. So we have to know how we're doing. What is that baseline level of expectation? And we also have to realize that the overwhelming majority of CEOs and leaders are delusional about the way in which they assume they're delivering value. The famous Bain study found that when they interviewed over 300 CEOs, that the overwhelming majority, nearly 90% of them, thought they were awesome. But then when they went back to interview those companies' customers, only 7% agreed. Wow, that's delusional. You think 90% thought they were awesome, but only 7% of the customers agreed? And look, if the customers don't agree with you, then you're obviously not delivering experiential value. So what do your customers really expect? Well, we know today they want new things. They want options and engagement, right? If you're a grocery store, they want a person checking them out and the option of self-checkout. We have different buyers, and different buyers like to engage the way in which they pay for groceries differently. So we have to provide different ways in which we engage different types of engagement personas across our ecosystem. So do you know what your customer really, really wants? Do you know what your employees really, really want? Do you know how you can add more value to your vendor relationships? That's the question, because until you go get those insights, you'll get no farther. And let me give you a tip here. Never count on anything associated with customer and employee surveys ever to give you insights to make decisions. They're incomplete. They're wrong. It's part of the survey industrial complex. Don't get trapped in. That's not where you're going to get the insights. The best way to get insights is to live with those customers to understand who they are, and then you invent better experiences for them. Collaborate, co-create, and innovate with customer-facing stakeholders. That's how you get good ideas, not surveys. That's the lazy way in which to get graphs and charts. It has nothing to do with improving your enterprise and positioning yourself for survivability. Understand the baseline level of expectation and then innovate in order to increase the value that you deliver. Now, there's another thing I'd like to point out about value and the way in which we deliver experiences. Think about an iPhone. When I woke up this morning, my iPhone was far more valuable to me. Why? Because there was about 600 more apps available on the App Store to make my life better. Is your business dynamic, like the iPhone? Dynamic means every day, in every way, it's getting better. As the French metaphysician Covey says, every day, in every way, it's getting better. Does that describe your services and your products? The reason that Apple and the Apple retailers are the most profitable businesses in the world is they have dynamic value. But they also have layered value. Layered value means that, well, would you be happy if your iPhone was a phone? No, I mean, just a phone. Would you be happy if the iPhone was a phone? No. I mean, I think my iPhone has one of those walkie-talkie telephone things in it. I don't know. I use it as a connected node to all knowledge in the universe. I use it as a pocket handheld supercomputer. It does everything. In fact, Google now calls its functionality micro-mobile moments. We use it to make decisions. We use it to tell us how to get places. We even use it to ask us where we should go. We use it to do everything. The phone is just one component of the value. So again, we have to be dynamic and we have to be layered. How much more value can you add in terms of layering value experientially and features and benefits? So tip one, understand your baseline level of expectation and then immediately go about the business of improving above the baseline level of expectation. Here's the problem with the baseline level of expectation, and forgive me for droning on this, but the overwhelming majority of the people are in the transaction business. They believe if they transact a product and the product is good, they're good. That's not good. That's the bare minimum. Shipping a product that the customer expected is the recipe for bankruptcy. The only way that you can get better, in fact, the founder of Tyson Foods famously said, you either expand or expire. You get better or you die. We are in the evolutionary universe. We as individuals must evolve and so must our leadership and our enterprises. Understand the baseline level of expectation across the five touch points of the customer's journey, across a range of personas. Invent far beyond that baseline by delivering layered and dynamic value, and you're starting off on the right foot. Tip number two, embrace innovation. Customer experience and human experience is an innovation activity. It's an innovation activity. Let me give you the definition. The definition is that you are creating novel human value that serves your organization and your customer. Human experience innovation creates novel value that serves your organization and your customer. So that's what it is. We're creating newness here. We're creating new ways to deliver an amazing experience for the employees that show up every day to serve our mission. We're creating exciting new relationships with our vendors to be able to collaborate better so that we get better products and prices and they have the opportunity to collaborate with a customer that wants to do it in a humane and humanistic way. We do a better job of serving our communities. We do a better job of understanding all that we engage every single day. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, but it is also innovation. The literal definition of innovation from my book, The Innovation Mandate, suggests that it's the process of creating novel value that serves your organization and your customer. That's what this is all about. It's easy to ignore this, but this is the secret sauce of the best organizations in the world. Now, another point I'd like to make about human experience is that many different consulting firms and thought leaders and so on have different definitions of the idea of human experience innovation. I'm not suggesting mine's perfect or even right, but I will tell you in my management consulting practice, I've had the honor of applying this in a very practical way to some great organizations, and its success is predictable. It's measurable. It truly is. It's hard to go wrong here. So it works, and that's why I work it, and that's why I'm so excited about it. Tip number three, formulate a formal plan. As the outdated axiom suggests, failing to plan is planning to fail, and certainly that's true when it comes to human experience innovation. What you really have to do is you have to get board level or certainly CEO level buy-on. They have to agree with you that this is a mandate, not just something nice to do. It's a mandate. Human experience strategy is a mandate. In a time of hyper-competition and hyper-complexity and a battle to attract and find great talent, it's a mandate. And because it's a mandate, it has to be supported with people, a place, a time, and a budget. In fact, great organizations are now building out centers for human experience innovation. I love that. You have to have a strategy, and the strategy starts with understanding your current state of maturity in the area of human experience innovation. Then it goes to understanding the current baseline level of expectation of employees and leaders and customers and partners and everybody that you serve. What are they? How do they feel about the way in which we're delivering value and experiences to them? So you've got to formulate a strategy. And, you know, the point I'd like to make about that, too, is that, you know, as you're thinking about formulating a strategy, the strategy requires a lot of cross-pollination and collaboration. I've seen organizations where HR and marketing is like the Crips and the Bloods. We need to be able to collaborate across departments because we're talking about human experience and customer experience here. Certainly, whoever owns customer experience and HR or human experience really needs to be part of this core team. But you also need to be very, very thoughtful about how you architect your entire team structure. Okay, last tip. Remember, human experience innovation is, after all, an innovation activity. It's a derivative of enterprise innovation. And that means you need to create a pipeline. Now, an innovation pipeline has a funnel. We call it the FFE, the fuzzy front end. And the funnel is where ideas come in on how we can improve experiences for customers and employees and partners and so on. And then we take those and we evaluate those through a vetting process. Some people use techniques like StageGate, and we use a method called the Triangular Method. How do we evaluate these to see if they really make sense? Then there has to be a developmental process to be able to build a business case around the new innovation. And ultimately, there needs to be a way to fast track it to deployment so that the employee or the customer or anybody within our ecosystem has the ability to benefit from it quickly. And then we also have to strap on the molecule of measurement. You know, we want to have a continuous feedback loop to find out how is this truly impacting the organization. All right, I know this is a lot of stuff in a short period of time, but I want you to at least consider the idea that human experience innovation is a new mandate for any organization, big or small. Because if you're small, you're agile and customer connected. If you're big, you've got locomotion and money. So we have different quivers to draw from. But there are advantages and disadvantages for small and large organizations. But both organizations simply must lean into the superpower of human experience innovation. And again, if you ever have questions, feel free to reach out. Glad to collaborate with you and learn from you. And I hope this gave you some insight and maybe at least a little glimmer of interest to make you want to explore this topic in more detail. Thanks again for listening to and hopefully subscribing to my podcast. Again, this is tip 15. We're going to go all the way to tip 24, tips for 2024. And then after that, we'll start bringing in our guests and having a more, less of a dialogue, a monologue, I should say, and more of a conversation with some really, really cool guests. So stay tuned for that, and please subscribe so you can be alerted when those programs are available. Thanks again, and have an amazing day.